This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Commonwealth Bank, Bell Monkey Foot Grill, Fidelity Bank, Hershey's Chocolates, Wendy's, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Burger King, Baja Retreat, and ISL Bahamas Limited, the developers of Swim, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're just here wrapping up the week. We got several things going on. Probably the most significant thing that developed yesterday was, aside from the health press conference, which we'll talk about in a, I fully expect we'll get to that. The most significant thing that I saw that probably developed was we're starting to finally understand some policy goals of what a future Progressive Liberal Party administration would look like. He held a press conference, Philip Brave Davis, leader of PLP, to talk about social media stuff. And while, you know, that's a thing, yeah, you know, dirty campaigning and social media's impact on elections, that is a real thing. More importantly to me, we're starting to get some policy. I want to hear policy from politicians, okay? That's what I'm into. Now, you always have an opportunity if you want to go, you want to freak out on them and all this stuff like that, but policy is important to me because I want to know what it is you're actually going to do, aside from all the campaigning and rah, 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 and yeah, the PLP corrupt, and we can, they're going to jail, and all this yada, yada, yada. When the rubber hit the road, what you say to smear the other side is less important than what you talk about what you're going to do. And even sometimes when you talk about what you're going to do, like I was talking, saying to a caller yesterday, I only could sort of go on your word, right? And the speed at which a politician will break his word is often breakneck. So I do get that there's a fair amount of distrust because when you say taxation is the lazy way out and then you come increase taxes, you really ain't got no defense of that, right? Like I never understood the narrative of it, of blame the FNM. Like this thing of never taking ownership for your own, blame the PLP, this thing of never taking ownership for your own actions. So you raising VAT, okay? That's your choice. You have options, and that is the option that you've decided to take. So you accept responsibility for it. The same goes for the PLP. We got VAT implemented on us, and we can talk about Brave in a minute, but I want to talk about something else. We got VAT implemented on us because the PLP, the last Christie administration, said, oh, the FNM was spending like drunk sailors, and this is how we can settle the debt and all that. Meantime, billions of dollars in VAT collected over two administrations, and the debt just climbs and climbs and climbs and climbs. And you start to lie after the stuff comes out. It doesn't have the impact that you wanted. No, it was never meant for the debt. Oh, no, because I remember being in the room looking up in Ishmael Lightborn's face when he said, it is to arrest the deficit and then pay down the debt. Before they put Ishmael Lightman on blast about his taxes. All right, so take ownership of what you're going to do. We're going to talk about that, too. Because that's the most important thing that I think came out of the news cycle yesterday. It gives us a chance to actually look at real policy. And we see something that the Prime Minister is responding to it in the Tribune business section. And we'll look at what he said. You can tell somebody wrote this for him. About an IMF restructuring program. And I gotta say, I don't know what the Prime Minister thinks, but that the Bahamas may have to enter an IMF debt restructuring program, is not some far-fetched, kooky idea that's just being put out there by Davis for fun. Noted economists have said that is a real concern that is going to have to be seriously looked at for the Bahamas. So I wouldn't go so far as to go, oh, no, that's just crazy talk. I'll be honest with you, to me, that's among one of the real, tangible options that that any administration will have to have. All right? Because you're looking at $1 billion deficit, man. So you got some options here that are going to be tough. All right? Now, that's important, and we need to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about Fred Mitchell and Pakesha Parker Edgecombe, right? Now, don't say I trying to get in your business, although it's our business anyway, who running well, but you put your business out on the street, so don't blame me for talking about it. Now, let me tell you how this all gone down, right? So, Pakesha Parker was commenting under her post about moving forward with West Grand Bahama and Bimini on Facebook, right? And they were like, oh, well, some commenter was like, oh, well, tell us what you're going to do. I'm paraphrasing. What you're going to do for the constituency. And he was like, oh, here's what he said. Here's the post. It says, Pakesha Parker Edgecombe, I have one question and one question only. What have you accomplished in the city of West Grand Bahama and Bimini? And Pakesha Parker comments, enough to ensure the PLP never sees it again. All right? So Mitchell saw that, and that must have triggered something in him, son. Because he came out on Twitter. I didn't even know Fred Mitchell was on Twitter, but now I do, and now I'm following him. He came out on Twitter and says, since the FNM MP challenged his integrity in a sporadic attack of the PLP, I don't know how he figured out what that got to do with him. That's he saying keep the PLP out. But he's going to reveal the entire story of her purportedly meeting with the PLP leader and chairman and agreeing to resign from the FNM in 2 weeks, join the PLP, and subsequently seek a nomination from the party. Now, again, we talked about this with Von Miller, which is even worse. If Pakesha Parker was thinking of switching over to the PLP, because it just means you're wearing a different color shirt. You just switched, and now you're going to argue, what, the PLP is better than the party you just left? I don't get it, but okay. Like, they're looking at you, and they go, I know it's you, right? You just had on the red shirt, now you got on a gold shirt. It's still you, right? You can't fake me out, right? I get it. So, Mitchell says that since she has done this, I intend to tell the entire story of her wanting to join the PLP and her meeting with me and coming to the Grand Bahama Airport to see the leader and myself to request we give her 2 weeks and then she would join the PLP and subsequently seek our nomination. All right? In response, Pakesha Parker Edgecombe denied that claim and says she wasn't surprised by the venom and far-fetched stories about her seeking to join the PLP. Her quote is, "With that said, I'm not at all surprised that political pundits, and sadly, the Progressive Liberal Party's chairman, are grasping for straws and now trying to muddy the waters with their venom and far-fetched stories that I begged to join the Progressive Liberal Party some weeks ago. It is a blatant lie." She's calling you a liar, Fred Mitchell. "It is a blatant lie. The Free National Movement is the best choice to govern our beautiful country, and I'm more than happy to be a part of the FNM as we aim to ensure the PLP's defeat at the polls." All right? And as you would know, Pakisha Parker Edgecombe was ratified by the FNM on Monday. Right? So, that seemed like that was it, right? Mitchell says, "Nah, you were coming to the airport to meet with me and the leader." Pakisha Parker says, "You lying." And that seemed to quiet it down. But then, yesterday, somebody asked Brave Davis about it, if he was in conversations with Pakisha Parker Edgecombe or Halsin Mutrie about joining the PLP. Now, Davis says he didn't speak with either of them. All right? Let me do this for you. Progressive, this is by Jasper Ward, Nassau Guardian reporter. Progressive Liberal Party leader Philip Brave Davis yesterday denied he was in conversations with Free National Movement MP Pakisha Parker Edgecombe about joining the PLP. On Wednesday, PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell tweeted a response to Parker Edgecombe's social media criticisms of the party, and he said he's going to tell the entire story of her wanting to join the PLP and her meeting with me and coming to the Grand Bahama Airport to see the leader and myself to request we give her 2 weeks. All right? Davis was asked if he could confirm that he had conversations with Mutrie and Parker Edgecombe. He responded, "Pakisha, no. No, I have not been in any conversation with anyone." When pressed on if he was in conversation with Mutrie, Davis replied, "No, no discussions. Now, I don't know whether they talked with the chairman." Now, Brave, be playing, you know, coy now, right? So, Jasper Ward went to Twitter and said that Davis had denied being in conversations with Pakisha. All right? Now, Mitchell apparently follows Jasper Ward on Twitter. You should follow Jasper Ward on Twitter. What's Jasper's handle? JasperWard94. Go follow Jasper. She's got a lot of followers. She's got almost 10,000 followers. So Jasper's Twitter's pretty hot, right? So Mitchell, in response, says, "Jasper Ward's tweet does not represent the true context of the exchange between another reporter and Mr. Davis. The leader was asked, was he in conversation with Pakisha Parker? He responded, no, I'm not. You should speak to the chairman, or words to that effect. 2 and 2 is still 4, and on the 6th of February, Pakisha Parker drove in a car with the intermediary to the Grand Bahama Airport for the departure of Mr. Davis. She was afraid to be seen, so a relative was in her car following behind. Parker requested that we give her 2 more weeks to give her decision about joining the PLP. These are the facts. She wanted to join the PLP. Stay on message, folks." All right. So now Mitchell is spilling the tea. Right? Is it so? It's all so petty. It's hilarious. Right? So Mitchell spilling all your tea. Nah. Who you believe? Because when I first heard about this, I was like, man, you know, Pakisha wasn't no flag flying FNM. I knew her a little bit from news, but she worked at Grand Bahama, so we didn't know each other like that. But, you know, everybody talks about each other in news, just like y'all talk about us, right? So I was like, you know, she, from everything I understood, she was perceived to be an FNM, but, you know, or sympathetic to the FNM. People said about me too, so you that might be your perception, you know what I mean? But I never heard of her being all gung-ho about the PLP or nothing like that. Because Zednes is a strange animal, an animal that should be put down, by the way. But Zednes is a strange animal. I never worked there, but they don't have enough internal conflict, and I know so many of them who worked there. I love y'all, but, you know, again. And Zednes, the first thing they survey, don't mind Minis filling your head with dreams when he came into power about no politics in it, right? So the first thing they survey when they get there, who's the FNM and who's the PLP? Straight up. That's exactly what it is, all right? And it starts at the top, because usually you put a politically affiliated person to be chairman of the board at Zednes, and then depending on how far that go, you'll get a politically affiliated person possibly as general manager, all right? And that's real over there. That ain't no joke. In Grand Bahama, in New Providence, it's real. Right, they look around and survey, and the politicians want to know, and the politicians feel as though that is their personal toy to play journalists with. I'm not guessing. I'm telling you. All right? So I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, I heard that she was more, they considered her more in the FNM camp. I never heard about no PLP stuff like that. So when it first gone down, I was like, well, she, I don't know if I believe Mitchell. Right? But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, why Mitchell can make this up? Because she didn't even call this man name, right? So clearly, he felt some type of way that she was ratified on Monday night. So something's up, right? So all she did was mention the PLP, and Mitchell said, well, now I can expose you, which is a lesson to you, Bukisha. So next time you'll know better, right? If there's a next time, right? That one ain't no deep freeze. You see what I'm saying? So be sure to be mindful of that. So the second she mentioned the PLP, which I don't know what Mitchell was expecting, but he was waiting, clearly, he bring out bang. You meet with Lita. She's like, no, it's a blatant lie. That's a strong rebuttal. It's a blatant lie, right? Because if he was lying on me, I'd say that too. It's a lie, right? Mitchell ain't say nothing after that. But then the leader got involved. And now Mitchell is detailing how on February 6th, she purportedly drove with an intermediary with him to the airport, followed by someone else because she didn't want to be seen, to go meet with Davis as he was departing Grand Bahama. And Davis was in Grand Bahama at that time. So it is petty and it is kind of silly, but it's real juicy in terms of understanding the machinations in these political parties. So who do you believe? Because both stories can be true. They're opposite of each other. Mitchell is saying one set of events occurred, and Parker Etchkum is saying that nothing he said occurred and called him a liar. All right, so tell me who you believe. And then we'll take a poll, right? Who do you believe? You believe Mitchell? You believe Parker Etchkum? And there's nothing incredibly strange about an MP talking about switching to the other side a little late in the game. For Parker Etchkum, I would that'd be a weird consideration for the PLP. At this time, considering you would have, I believe, had numerous aspirants trying to run for West Grand Bahama and Bimini, who are actually proud and out there PLPs, and you were going to just bypass all of them for the FNM candidate? The existing FNM MP, you're going to bypass all of them and run her? And all of them supposed to just get behind her and go act like she was in the FNM MP this entire time? It don't make logical sense to me, but then some things in politics don't make a lot of sense. All right? Today is Pakisha on Twitter. No, I don't see Pakisha on Twitter. I gotta find her. I didn't know Mitchell would. I don't check my Twitter feed that often. I'm gonna be honest with you. When they started telling me about all this Mitchell stuff, I was like, to Twitter, right? I used to go frequently when Donald Trump was there, just for jokes, you know what I mean? Because he would clown everybody. But I was surprised he was on Twitter. This says, one, you see what the PLP did to Obi Roberts? They moved the woman from Marathon to Golden Gates. PLP don't play around. Marathon to Golden Gates? They didn't ratify nobody for Golden Gates, did they? I'd be shocked if they don't give Obi Roberts a nomination. The guy's daddy was the beating heart of the PLP for a long time. And he's been out here campaigning long, carrying, the good news about the PLP to the country. You can call me, by the way. It is petty. I won't lie to you, but it's interesting. It's, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Right, yeah. Good, doing fine. Listen, I always like Miss Edgecombe. She was on the news and all that. She's a person I watch all the time and liked her. I never liked Fred Mitchell. But you know what? I believe Fred Mitchell telling the truth.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe he's telling the truth.
Okay, so Fred Mitchell, you believe. I gotcha.
Right.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So he don't even like Mitchell. All right? Any believer. Oh, this says Pia Glover role. Shanique Miller posted it to her page yesterday. Pia Glover is now the PLP's Golden Gates candidate. They kicked Obi to the side. Boy, I got to find out about that. It's more drama now. All right. So, Golden Gates now. All right, I got to find Obi Roberts. It's all going down. I'm here for you. This is what I'm here to do. I'm here to unravel all this for you and help you to better understand all the shenanigans that go on behind here. So, and you notice, like, we're talking all about which candidate goes where, and we ain't talked about a single PLP policy yet, right? Or what the F&M plans to do, because you're resilient, Bahama, whatever the hell you called your last budget, it ain't clicking, right? So, this says, good afternoon, Juan. I believe Mitchell's account. He gave a date, February 6th. He also stated while there was not a direct contact with Parker, she used an intermediary. I took it to understand that he was the intermediary between Parker and Davis, allegedly. Juan, I'm an F&M supporter and voter in 8 Mile Rock. Parker Edgecombe will lose West End and Bimini no matter which party she represents. Yeah, I'm not hearing great things about her prospects there, but you never know how these things go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
I'm fine, you, Mr. McCartney.
I'm good.
Mr. McCartney, Let me say something this morning. I believe what Mr. Mitchell said concerning Miss Parker. Let me say this to you. She didn't hear that she was going to get axed. Minister's not going to give her a nomination. So I believe she went to sit down with Mr. Mitchell to see if she could have secured herself a seat for the PLP. Now, I believe Mr. Mitchell, but he's not going to lie. And just another thing I want to ask you. Why are you all so bittery about the PLP? You all, let me say something to you, Mr. McCartney. If so many Bahamian people voted for this F&M government, and they thought this government would have been so perfect, but the fang of this government did badly to the Bahamian people. Why y'all don't go and attack the F&M? Who's the government? They treat the Bahamian people too bad. That's what y'all need to be getting on to. And then this new win you see July, it's going to be a different story. Why y'all so bitter against the PLP? The PLP is not the government. The F&M is the government.
Not yet.
Yes, but they are the government. Yep. The F&M is the government. So why y'all so bitter against the PLP? Go and let Minister go on any talk show or say to sit down and talk with anybody or any group of young people. He doesn't know how to address nobody. I'll stop being bitter to the PLP.
But let me ask you a question. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Do you listen to this show, me? Do you listen
every day?
You think that I don't take the F&M to task?
Mr. McCartney, every day, you need to sit down with Mr. the Prime Minister and find out what he's going to do for
Now you got
everybody you get up in for Freeport and Abaco.
You using this word
against the PPP, not the government.
You using this word y'all, right? But thanks for calling. I don't do y'all, right? I do one, right? So I know that. I know about that. And I don't know anyone who does not hold a position in a political party or a public office who has been more critical of the current prime minister. No one. Name me someone. Right? Not because I don't like him. I don't like how your haircut player. I don't like your glass. It's because he's prime minister and his decisions impact us. And I've disagreed vehemently with many of his decisions. So I don't think that's even fair to say that about me. I don't know who this y'all is. If you're talking about the Nassau Guardian, I can speak for the Guardian. That's not the case as well. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hey, Warren, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad. Your middle name is Jobe.
No.
You got a lot of patience with these rabid party supporters, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just getting right off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If she feels that she needs to take that out on me, I guess. I don't know.
Anyway, but I kind of believe Mitchell on this one, because if you look at it, right, I send you texting it, but you don't have to read it. It makes logical sense for the PFP to try and siphon away as much as these F&M current candidates, MPs.
MPs.
Because it shows to the public that, yeah, the F&M is losing ground and basically people jumping ship.
Right.
So, it just makes sense for him to actually go out and try and sneak something like that. But if he is lying about it, then that's kind of the snake that you have in politics. Things like that happen, but I don't think he's lying.
So you believe him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a narcissist, but from what I've known from him from all these years and listening to him and all that, to come in and lie with something like this, I don't see him doing that.
Okay, I gotcha.
Remember, I'm not a supporter of BLP, but I'm just saying.
I gotcha. All right, so you believe Mitchell. I understand. Yeah. I'm hearing your logic. Logically, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But, I'll say, and from that perspective, it would make sense to him. From her perspective, that makes sense for her to jump ship. At this point, I don't know how that makes sense to her. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment.
Sure, go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, my brother, how's it going?
All is up.
All right. Good.
You know, if what he's saying is true, how come Mr. Davis never really said that, yes, they were at the airport and Takesha Parker was coming to meet us? Mr. Davis seemed to not know anything about it.
Right.
So if that is the case, mm-hmm. also, tell me why he didn't say that. You know, it seems like political mischief. And in this season, question everything.
Right. I do.
You know?
I do.
I think it's the same old trickery. Takesha Parker is committed to the F&M. And we will see how this will play out.
So you believe Takesha?
Yeah, I certainly do.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. All right. It's another call. Who do you believe? It's my question. I'm going to talk about the taxes, too. Good afternoon. Welcome to the tax reform. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Let me know.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You've tried everything. ASUS, with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit islbahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We were talking some palace intrigue, if you would, going on with the PLP and FNM candidacies. It's very interesting stuff, I gotta say. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, Wamagani, how you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Right here. Good to hear you. That lady pressurizing you, but that I believe in the freedom of the press, freedom of the Florida state. Don't let the PLP mix it up. But listen,
yes, sir.
I call to say the reason why I believe Fred Michaud, the Mr. Parker was a former seasoned journalist and anchor zealotness, and now I understand she's parliamentary secretary for broadcasting.
Yeah.
So she should easily break the news, and she ain't break no news. She ain't answer back. The woman not to break news. You know, she was my favorite anchor at the Northern Service.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't break the news for Amagadi. Let it be true or not true.
She said the first time she said it was a lie. Now, the second time where you come with all these details, she says she hasn't had any comment.
What you do? Come on, someone playing with your character, you're not going to comment back on it?
Yeah, I, if I were her and he was coming out like that, I'd be like, you know, either yay or nay, you know what I mean?
You know why she didn't come back? Because the truth hurt it, and the PLP is all the way. She's on her way out.
All right.
Have a good day, Wamagani.
All right, my brother. Thanks for calling. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How's it going?
Not too bad, man. At the risk of you doing your thing about it. It's your show and you run it how you want to. That's fine. So it's going to be a little prickly. Yesterday, you had the Minister of Immigration on your show.
Ellsworth, yes.
Yeah, I understand that your time is limited, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one, as much as we speak to the status quo and the norms and the politicians doing what they do and us accepting it, you guys, this platform, not just Guardian Radio, so many others, during this time where the silly season is upon us, people have some queries and some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say personally, my view of you, some people are media personalities. I regard you as a journalist. I've seen you at work.
Yep.
And you do a great job. And I'm not trying to blow smoke. But I respect you as a journalist, not a media personality. There are instances where people want to hear some things, one, in this time now. For example, Malia with its closure and some issues relating to immigration, which is his portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have heard him address the work permit situation in this time where Bahamians are struggling to find work. If they're extending new ones, depending on the industry or the renewals of work permits, that wasn't addressed yesterday. The situation in Abaco, where we see videos on social media with people basically constructing new communities, when supposedly our government went ahead, cleared out, and we're checking the things in places like Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
Those issues weren't addressed.
He spoke to Abaco. He spoke to Abaco yesterday, and he's previously spoken to the work permit situation. So I didn't know that anything has changed from when he previously...
No, I didn't know that. If you look over the course of the last couple of days, and I'm sure that your ears are to the ground, there's video circulating everywhere of these brand new communities. I mean, in real time. And people clearly know where it is they are, because if a Bahamian could go into these communities with a phone.
But he spoke to that, though. What was it that you want him to say? Because he spoke, he said the courts prevent them from doing certain things. But if you look at what they did in the Mud and Pigeon Pea, they're not going to allow them to keep continuing doing that in Abaco, and they're seeking legal remedies for it. That's what I heard him say.
So our hands are tied now by the Minister of Immigration, empowered by the Prime Minister and our laws. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that there's nothing they can do, even though they, to great extent, cleared out these illegal communities. And if they're not granting work permits for these things, because if you look at some of the structures, I don't know how you would get a work permit from the, or get a permit from the Ministry of Works to construct the type of homes that they're constructing.
Right. You can.
We need specifics as it relates to that.
Right.
I'm going to humbly ask during
this
time.
But that
don't
come before him, though.
Yeah, but if
but see, here's the thing. I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying.
Allow me to finish.
But you've spoken for a while now, and I have other callers and other issues to get to.
But I understand that, and it's not an attack. I would ask.
I don't feel attacked. Yeah. I just want to, you know, let's.
Allow me to get to the meat of my matter, please.
Okay.
Your platform, one, is a very powerful one. I believe that you love your country, and moving us forward is a genuine interest of yours. The status quo where people come on these programs, spew nonsense, and where you guys don't allow members of the public who their decisions actually impact. Bahamians, that needs to stop, man. If we're moving forward truly, let them get checked. Because it goes unchecked. No calls, no text messages. People that are really impacted, we don't get an opportunity to address these individuals. Please don't allow them to do that one.
I hear you, but I don't know that I will do it a different way, because I've done it a different way for several years. And what I found, and this is why I wanted you to let me respond to you, and what I found is this. This is the first thing. Yes, you look at any member of the administration and you want to direct your ire about the overarching decisions made in the administration at them. I get it, because they represent the party that's governing the country. And I felt that way for a long time, but here's what I found. You have to address the person before you in terms of the business they are responsible for. So when he spoke to, briefly, he spoke to it, when he spoke to his dealings with what's happening on Abaco, in my consideration, that's as far as his competence and responsibility for that situation went. Now, if Desmond Bannister were here, or the Defense Force on Abaco, or someone else, I would probe them on that. So the first thing is, you got to figure out what the person sitting in front of you is responsible for and speak to them about that. Like, I had one guy who messaged me to this day, so upset with me when Marlon Johnson came, and he was like, attack Marlon Johnson, attack Marlon Johnson, attack Marlon Johnson. I'm like, attack Marlon Johnson about what? These aren't his policies. He's not in cabinet making these decisions. He works for government. He does what he is instructed to do. And so it's going to make you feel good for a minute to just go, ah, Marlon Johnson. But when you leave that conversation, you will have gotten nothing useful out of it. So what I seek to do, and it is my show, and I do run it the way I want, and you can disagree all you want, and I don't feel attacked. What I'm seeking to do is get as much information as possible out of the people who have this information in front of me for the time I have them here. That's what I'm trying to do. All right? So I hope you understand it. In fact, when Ellsworth Johnson told me he was coming, he said he wanted to come to speak about certain things. I said, great, that's fine. Right? I said, could you please bring some officials from immigration so that I can get data, because I want more data. And I asked him to provide me with data. I want to know how many work permits have been granted so far this year. How many have been renewed? I wanted to ask him how much money the work permits have brought in. I wanted to ask him data about the status of people under the Department of Immigration and how many files there are that are still pending and waiting. All right. But he said he didn't have time to organize those people to come. And I said, okay, fine. You come and we'll get as much information as you can. So my platform, I got to run the way I want it. And it's not necessarily for you to vent your frustrations out at them without getting anything useful from them. So I'm going to have to continue to do it the best way I see fit, and that's what it's going to be. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Tough day.
It's all good, buddy.
Yeah. I'm not going to make it any tougher, but I believe Ms. Keisha Parker Edgecombe. Right. It reminds you of that meme that always on social media, you know, when someone says something and the antagonist says, and they took it personal. That's exactly what happened to the instance with Fred and Fakisha.
Right.
The leader of the opposition was coy whether or not to come out and say that the sham was a liar. But the portier wasn't shy to say that he was a liar. He's called him a liar on multiple occasions.
Right.
All right. So I believe it's Fakisha Parker. Come on, and one, don't allow anybody to stop you from what you are doing. You are one of the most unbiased persons on radio. And that's not me blowing hot air. That's a fact.
Thank you.
And your record has shown that. All right?
Yep. I appreciate it, man.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought I was certified. I don't know. I didn't know there was someone who was under this perception that I was one way or the other still. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Good day. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Mr. McGartney, tell me now, how could you go in and look at that be a mandate? You know, the DPMs, I mean, the leader of opposition, they're going to look at that. That's not a mandate. You got to say what kind of taxes you're going to do, what you're going to do with that. You know, and why you got to look at that? I've been around for a long time. If you don't have a position on VAT or any other talk, what do we need you for? What could you do for us? You know, and as well as they talk about Oban and BBL. And what is this? What you doing with Oban? How are you doing with working with whatever happened to Oban? Help us.
I understand.
What position? What's going on with BPL and even BPS? Or even the debt. Shouldn't you know what the debt is? I mean, that's what you come into power on. This debt that we have, these deals with Oban and the like. How is that a mandate for you?
I gotcha. All right. Let me do your text messages. This says, Juan Parker wanted a meeting. A person speaks to the chairman before the leader in the PLP. I won't read the rest of that. So I can't verify any of that. It says, only a fool will believe the PLP about reviewing VAT. That's all they would do is review. You remember Perry telling that foreign donor he would review his situation. Brave is not a leader. You might have some hope with Chester. Please don't vote FNM or PLP. I got to get through some of these text text message. I can't do calls right now. We're going to talk about taxes in the second hour. It says, Davis said he had not spoken with Pakisha Edgecombe about joining the PLP, but Mitchell said that he and Davis spoke with Edgecombe. If they can't tell the truth now, how could we trust them in government? It says, all this juicy gossip has nothing to do with depressing matters. The chairman and the MP talking about grasping power. I know Pakisha Parker Edgecombe to be a classy gal, but she has a family of PLPs too. It says, Fred Mitchell's trapsy bad. KML. This is A1. Check the cameras at the airport in Freeport on that day. That should be easy. It says, great show as usual. Question how politicians get so super sensitive in the political circle. Politicians have become soft with the capital S. I remember when politicians used to have alligator skin. I miss those days. It says, Juan, I heard at least one other FNM MP was in discussions too. I heard that. A1, I believe Pakisha, remember the pot cake. Also, it says, I also think that Brave is being coy and doesn't want to call out his chairman, to out his chairman. One, I believe Parker did consider going to the PLP. That's too outlandish for Fred to just make up something like that. If Parker wasn't considering it, she could easily prove an alibi that would make Fred look stupid. So Fred had to have his ducks in a row to spread a story like that. It says, she better leave Fred alone. He don't take last. I believe Fred. He may be a lot of things, but I don't think he's lying. All right, we got to take a break for news. We'll be back after this. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We were talking about the whole Pakisha Parker, Edgecombe, Fred Mitchell saga. And yes, it's petty. I know it is, but damn if it's not interesting. And we're going to talk about Davis speaking about reforming taxation or looking at tax reform, which I found very interesting, so we're going to talk about that. But I think we're supposed to have a Zoom call for the Ministry of Health today. Let me do some more of your text messages, because you're sending me the text messages. I don't want to neglect you. All right. It says, blessings, Juan. Right now I'm a bit peeved at how the Bahamas is being managed by those we've entrusted the nation's affairs to. There seems to be too much concern and interest shown to others, and less of the same shown for the masses. I say again, I certainly believe that the super leadership in the person of Mrs. Orinthia Komolafe is awaiting the nation's opportunity and approval to perform on our behalf. Indeed, she is fit and equipped for the task at hand. All right. This is, Juan, think about this. Someone would lose their parliamentary secretary post to go and still make $28,000. It makes no sense. Yeah. Could you try and find out, please, why gas prices are continuously going up? I won't lie to you. I've been seeking the answer to that question repeatedly for numerous years. And several years ago, I spoke to one of the Petroleum Retail Dealers Association, whatever it is, leaders. And they said they would come and speak with me. And then when I've called them recently, they said that they don't talk to the press and they won't speak to the press. And so I am a bit mystified by it as well. And I keep intending, but I get sidetracked to like dig into that and see exactly what is going on and how those determinations are made. This is one of the previous 2017 general election, the Killarney constituency. Dr. Minnis beat, I believe, your party leader, my party leader, well, now I'm a DNA, I guess, by DNA leader Orinthia Komolafe by over 3,000 votes. Dr. Minnis had 4,000 plus to Komolafe's 600 plus, I believe. That must have been the worst beating in Bahamian election history. In 2022, I predict she'll be beaten worse. No, that wasn't the worst in election history beating. It was it's one of the largest margins of victory probably in election history. But in terms of beating, you'd have to look at the fact that the Renika, I believe her name was, Knowles, I think her name is, the PLP's candidate, got quite a number of votes as well. Good afternoon, Juan. Successive government officials feel they can automatically win by default because of this systemic pattern. Bahamians aren't being represented correctly, i.e. no term limits for prime ministers, no set date for elections, and so forth. Well, you're looking at the party in government now who promised to have fixed election dates, and they have none. All right? And who promised to put term limits on prime ministers, but yet have done nothing in that regard. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How's it going?
You can get better. You know, those two persons that are in the news that is talking about the truth. Okay, I think you've got more truth than them, more louder than them. I know. You've got more of the country at heart than them. You know, that old lady from Ragged Island that always speak about the truth. She talks about the Bible and carries it as a firm foundation. These both people, they are broadcasters, okay? We don't know anything that else that is stronger about them, okay? It's city politics, and let it just pass. The truth is going to surface. You know, she comes from a PLP family, and Fred is looking for that strong thing, honor, you know, but it's our country, and this doesn't matter much to us, because we need to talk about the country's finances and its health.
We're going to right now. Yeah.
You know. So once again, don't let anybody sway you to think otherwise. Because here it is, you're speaking the truth, okay? And you're bringing us to us in 1,000% and a strong foundation. Continue the good work, man.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Says this may be off topic today, however, is it mistaken that the Minister of Immigration, in conversing with you regarding the disgruntled foreign expat, said that he could eavesdrop on that person's conversation if desired based on the law to get at third parties involved? If indeed that is the case, how frightening and disturbing is that? It speaks to the need for a robust freedom of information legislation. Not only can the government listen to, can our government listen to your conversations, right, and do it without your knowledge, and do it with an intermediary. Remember they talked about the spy bill? Y'all missed all that? And do it through an intermediary and not just the commissioner of police by getting it from a judge. But the United States government, for years, recorded every phone conversation in the Bahamas through a test project and had the capacity to go and check them. All of them. So you're saying it's disturbing. It was done in broad daylight. They passed the spy bill during this administration, after the last administration, after the party that is now governing, when it was in opposition, was vehemently opposed to it. So, and it wasn't done in secret. It wasn't done under the cover of darkness. It was done right in your House of Assembly. So if you're disturbed, you have every right to be, but know that that wasn't a secret. All right, we've talked about this a lot, and they have that capacity right now. Are we speaking with the Ministry of Health? On. Hello. Good afternoon. We're speaking with the Ministry of Health, and this is.
Good afternoon.
I'm speaking with Dr. Felicia Balfour Greenslade. Yes?
Yes, you are.
All right. So good to have you with us. I would like to hear about what the Ministry of Health is doing for immunization. I had previously spoken to a doctor, but I'm interested in what progress has been made over the past couple of weeks.
Okay. So what we have going on with our immunization program is this. We're trying our best to make sure our pediatric population is kept up to date with their basic immunizations. As you know, we had some restrictions in place last year, and people weren't able to move about as freely as they usually would have. Mm-hmm. also, even prior to the situation with COVID, persons weren't really bringing their children in for immunizations the way they should, I guess because they're so unfamiliar with these diseases that we are trying to prevent. They haven't seen them for a while because of immunization. They haven't seen them, they're not aware of the challenges that they pose, so it wasn't something that was being done as regularly and as consistently as it needed to be. So we started this campaign basically to just try and encourage our parents to bring children in, and not just for the children, but also for the adults, because we have adult immunizations that are available as well. So the whole thrust of our campaign has been to cover the entire population as needed with the immunizations that are provided in our basic schedule and for those that are provided for our adults.
Excellent.
So we've seen some progress. People have been coming in, but we want to try and encourage them to really take advantage of the services and make sure especially their children are covered.
Gotcha. Now, if they're seeking to have themselves and their children immunized, where do they now go? Because there's been a lot of confusion about which clinics are open, which clinics are closed, where they can do this.
Okay. Now, for the most persons, they would be familiar with Blue Hill Road Clinic. And that would be a clinic that we would see for children's immunizations and for travel immunizations. But that clinic, I think it's under renovation at this time.
Okay.
But all our other government facilities, you should be able to get your vaccinations. And please, they are free of charge. So it's not as if you're going to have a bill to pay once you go to a government clinic to get any sort of immunization.
Okay. So, and they're free. I gotcha. Now, yeah. School is set to reopen next week, the public schools, and you will need immunizations in order to go back to school, or has there been some flexibility with regard to that policy?
Well, I don't think there's a case of flexibility that we can afford with that policy. The whole thrust of the immunization is to ensure that when your child goes to school, they're not going to be inadvertently exposed to a disease that is totally preventable. The whole thrust of it is to make sure that if your child goes in, they're not picking up the flu, they're not picking up the measles, they don't have to worry about if someone has whooping cough because the coverage is already in place with the immunization. So again, the services are there, they're available. There has been a degree of outreach into some of the communities as best as the restrictions would have allowed to get persons to take advantage of the services and make sure that their children are covered. Because yes, you will need to have your immunizations in place when your children are going to school, especially take stock of those children who are going into grade 7 and grade 10, because they would have to get their medicals and make sure that everything is up to date and they're totally covered. So yes, that's still in place.
All right. Now, where do we go to find more information about how to get immunized and where to go, et cetera?
Well, as I said, they're at basically all of the government health facilities free of charge. But if you want to have more information about vaccines themselves, you can actually call our National Immunization Unit.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually on Carmichael Road right next to the Flamingo Gardens Clinic. And the number there is 341-1741-3. You can actually also call the clinic nearest you because they would be able to give you information in terms of the vaccines and getting an appointment sorted out to get your child covered or to get any elder that may be in your care covered with the vaccinations as well. You can also go to the government's health site, www.bahamas.gov.bs/health, or you can even visit the World Health Organization or the Pan American Health Organization websites for more information about immunizations and whatever trends are occurring globally.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for this information, Dr. Balfour. Really appreciate it. And I'm hoping that we do get more people to go in and get immunized and get up to date and straight.
We will certainly hope so as well. We're encouraging, please, Bahamian public, take advantage. It's free and it's for the benefit of your children and it's to keep your loved ones, your older ones healthy as well.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Balfour Greenslade. You have a great day.
Thank you.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay, so we got the National Immunization Hotline. You can call 341-1741 or 3341-1741 or 3. All right. We have to talk about this stuff with Brave Davis saying that he's going to look at tax reform. Now, I want to show you a supplement, right? Of the 150 texts I got here, most of them I read, about Bakisha Parker. I want the same energy y'all say. Y'all don't think that matters and nobody's interested in it and it doesn't do anything nationally? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk about something that matters now, and I want to gauge your reaction. I want to see something here. All right? So if we look at today's... Have we got a call? That's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon, are you there? Nope? Okay. All right, I want to show you something. So we had the whole press conference, and the PLP called it about social media attacks, which that's a thing, but it's not a thing I'm going to go through today. And the one good thing about that is at least Davis will sit there and let you question him, all right? Which is a stark difference between the current prime minister. As much as you say Brave Davis Duckin, Huberman would do no talk shows. I think he may have done one on ZNS under certain conditions. He would do no talk shows. He doesn't do them now. He hardly grants interviews, all right? He gave some comments to Neil Hartnell in the Tribune today. And he promised a whole quarterly press briefings and does not. All right? So it's a stark difference. At least to Davis's credit, he will sit there and let you question him on policy. Now, what he says about policy is the interesting point. So immediately, in fact, let me read it for you so we're clear. All right? And I wish we did take more time to discuss this, but we can always circle back to this. All right? So Davis, PLP government would review VAT. PLP leader says determination will be made on whether VAT is still viable. All right? Jasper Ward is the writer. Progressive Liberal Party leader Philip Brave Davis said yesterday that if elected to office, his administration would focus on tax reform and determine whether value-added tax is still appropriate for the Bahamas given the current state of the economy. The Christie administration introduced VAT at a rate of 7.5% while Davis served as deputy prime minister. Asked whether his administration would undertake tax reform, Davis responded, "Tax reform is on our agenda, and it does not necessarily mean that we're going to, but tax reform in the sense that we alleviate the burden of taxes on the Bahamian people, which may necessarily mean revisiting whether VAT is the appropriate tax. We did it before. We will determine whether in today's Bahamas, following what has happened to the economy since we were last in office, whether VAT is still a viable means of taxation or whether we should move to something else. And so those will be on the table then when you talk about tax reform. But we don't know what we're going to meet when we get there, but we do know what we have to do is review our tax structures and determine which route we go from there." The PLP leader also said, "I think our financial challenges to date is leading to an International Monetary Fund restructuring loan with this government. That step from a Davis-Cooper administration will be the last resort. We will have the opportunity as a new government to reverse a lot of trends and to implement our own economic plan, which has as its overarching principle growing the economy and identifying natural resources that can help us address our immediate debt burden. We have a plan that hopefully will be meet can give us the opportunity to buy the time to do what is necessary to grow the economy and implement some of the other initiatives that we have." All right? Now, Davis also said, when asked what his administration's reaction would be should financial experts recommend it needs to raise taxes, quote, "If finance experts suggest we have to raise taxes, they have to inform me of the basis of that because my first priority will be how I lift the burden of the ordinary Bahamian, not add to it. My knowledge of the Bahamian economy, my knowledge of the economic fundamentals of our economy, and my experience with dealing with each, particularly in the last administration, point me to why I would not need to do so immediately. And as I said, restructuring our debt will alleviate the need to seek further taxes and give us the headroom that is necessary so as not to increase taxes at this time." All right. Now, let me finish this quote. Davis said his administration would incentivize growth of the economy while restructuring the debt. Quote, the debt. Quote, that is something we can do almost immediately, and I would think that would require confidence in the government to be able to negotiate a good deal to postpone some of our debt repayments to allow us that headroom. And we think that we have the cadre of people that can inspire confidence in the money market to allow us to do that. All right, great. That's what Davis said. Now, let's dissect it. All right? So, it says, wait, what is this? Your response to a previous caller was very arrogant. If you don't generate the interest of listeners, you will not have sponsors. Your concerns as it relates to immigration or any other matters do not necessarily affect the concerns of all your listeners. Humility has its place, sir. It does have its place, but not in my response to him. What humility should I display in terms of that? He disagreed with the way I conducted an interview, and I disagreed with his assessment of it. That's just called the normal course of human interaction. People disagree with each other and how they do certain things, and that's fine. But arrogance connotates that I believe I am more relevant or pertinent than I actually am. So I don't know how you got that from there, but it's going to be okay, right? I'm good at what I do. I know that. And that's not arrogant. That's just being confident. Now, if you don't like the way I conduct an interview, you have every opportunity to say that, and I'm fair to you with that, but I don't have to apologize to you or somehow humble myself before you. That's nonsensical. So if you don't want to listen, and this may come across as arrogant, if you don't want to listen, please do not do so. Feel free not to do so. The talk shows I don't like listening to, I just don't listen to them. I don't call the host and speak with them about it. But let's talk about what Davis said, because this is important. Again, so you cannot listen. And if you think that's arrogant, then you deal with that, because your feelings about me are belong to you to deal with. I don't know if you've ever heard anyone tell you that before. That sounds arrogant. How you feel about me is personal to you, not me. Let's talk what Davis said about taxes. So Davis is correct in this. They do need to explore tax reform. All right? The way that this is all going, their options are going to be very limited. We talked about this the other day. All right? You are facing a situation where your revenue is seriously impacted to the tune of, if you look at the fiscal snapshot for the first 6 months, you're collecting not 50%, right, of what you normally would collect. If you look at even the forecast of where we are, the revenue's way down, right? And even so, they forecasted that it would be down significantly, but it's down even more than that. Why is it down? For two reasons. Chiefly, because our tourism product has not picked up again. All right? Now, when you complain about the tourists come in, they don't spend no money downtown and all this other stuff like that, that's a fair assessment. The spend should be greater. They need more things to do. We need to get them off the boat. We need to negotiate a bit better. To this administration's credit, they stopped the rebate program of giving them back the taxes that we collect, right, from the cruise ship visitors. So the cruise ship visitors bring a tremendous amount of tax revenue into the country. We should always appreciate that when we're talking about how our economy works. The tourists have to pay VAT on hotel rooms. All right? They gave them a bit of a break when they first started the VAT, and then they gave them a bit of a delay in increasing it when they put the increase. But the tourists pay VAT on hotel rooms. The tourists consume, I believe, as much food as we do. Right? So the tourists pay VAT, a lot of it, on real expensive meals at hotels. The tourists pay VAT on the services at hotels. The tourists pay VAT on the beverages at the hotels. All right? The VAT is down significantly because those people aren't coming, right? All the rental cars, the bikes, the stuff the tourists do, right? That's VAT generating in our economy. They're bringing VAT into our economy to pay police officers, to pay teachers, to build schools. You understand? To restore Abaco, even though that's not happened like that. That's why we need them, until we find some other way to make it. All right? The VAT revenue is also down significantly because the domestic economy has been hampered by COVID-19. To no small impact by the way the emergency regulations have been handled, shuttering businesses, curfews, etc., stopping certain things from happening within businesses due to the competent authority. So the impact on that, not only because of COVID-19, but because of the handling of all this as well, has been impacted. So the VAT is way down, all right? But, and you got to look at tax reform in order to say, can we continue doing this with just VAT? Does it make good sense to continue doing this with just VAT, or do we look at something else? Now, Davis says he wants to ease the burden on Bahamian people. Now, I question, I'd love to have him come here, too, to talk about this, and more Cooper. Now, I question, you're saying you want to ease the burden on Bahamian people. Fair enough. Now, Bahamians are all Bahamians, last I checked. When you say Bahamian, that's all of us, right? From the poor to the uber rich, it's all Bahamians. You want to ease the burden on the Bahamian people. Now, he probably means he wants to ease the burden on those who are hurting the most, right? The working class, the underprivileged. That's what he probably means, but he's saying he wants to ease the burden on Bahamian people. I don't think Davis can ease the burden on all Bahamians and make up the room he would have lost by either lowering VAT or getting rid of VAT. Now, you're going to make, when you hear Davis say that, the first thing you're going to say is, oh, he's a hypocrite, because why didn't he do that back in 2015 as opposed to putting VAT in place? Why didn't they look at restructuring the debt then? And you know what? You could make that political argument. All right? That's fine. And that's a discussion to be had. And I suppose the politicians will have that discussion, although I don't know if anyone has any room to talk about VAT in any way whatsoever, since they both have their hands all over it. But if you lower VAT or get rid of VAT, you are going to lose, and I got my budget here, right? VAT accounts in this budget for 37.8% of all government revenue, all of it, all right? So you get rid of VAT, you're losing 40% of government revenue, all right? If you get rid of VAT, value-added tax, I don't believe this projection, but fine. Value-added tax, forecast revenue for 2021-2022 is $830 million. So if you get rid of VAT, let's not say get rid of it. Let's say you take VAT back down to 7.5%, right? You're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars. If you get rid of VAT, you're going to immediately lose a government revenue stream that's projected to bring in close to $1 billion this fiscal year. I don't believe that's going to happen, but that's what the projection is. Restructuring your debt, and Chivargo Lang or somebody else can tell me if I'm wrong about this, just restructuring your debt in no way will net you any $1 billion in savings a year. If an economist out there has a different opinion of that, a different view of that, please let me know. But restructuring the debt isn't going to allow you to make up that room. Now, there may be an issue where you restructure debt over time and defer payments so your debt servicing is not so high, because right now it's hundreds of millions of dollars a year. But you still could only lower VAT to a certain extent and restructure the debt, and you'll still be paying more money over time either way. So I understand Davis's thrust, but I don't know if he's fully thought it through. All right? Because unless you're, if you get rid of VAT, you're going to have some sort of other tax to make up the room. Now, you have taxes on international trade and transaction. That brings in about 20%. You have excise tax. We don't want to raise those. All right? You may could raise taxes on international trade and transactions, but that's going to impact Bahamians who do business in that arena. And also, it may shrink that job market if you do that. There's a possibility on that. You could say, let me institute a tax on ICBs, right? Or IBCs, right? And that's something that you'd have to carefully consider in terms of, will that shrink that market of lucrative jobs for Bahamians if people decide to take their business elsewhere to, say, Cayman or whatever, where they don't have those taxes? Well, may people move their money? Yeah, maybe. Will they do so immediately? Probably not. That would also resolve an issue of being labeled a tax haven and a no-tax jurisdiction. So that may be something. But you can't say you're going to ease the burden on Bahamians, referencing all Bahamians, without any sort of tax increase at all that impacts Bahamians. Now, you may say, we could look at an income tax. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I haven't fully fleshed out my thoughts on this, but an income tax could work, depending on whose income you tax. You're not, the way our system's set up, you're not going to have a perfect set of circumstances where you equitably tax income in this country right now. But we could get there. So here are my thoughts. You can have an income tax that starts at a certain threshold, not impacting the people Davis probably believes are most hurt by this. So you could start your threshold at, say, $25,000, or let's say $30,000. All right? Or if you want to go higher, you could say we start our threshold at $60,000. So all those making $60,000 a year up to a certain limit, right, $60,000 to, say, $250,000 a year, pays a certain percentage of income tax. Again, you're going to not capture a ton of people. But you'll capture a lot if you put the onus on businesses to take the tax out of the salary, as you do, say, NIB, and remit that to the government. Have I done any studies on this to know what we're capturing and how much money there is to be captured there? I have not. I don't know if someone has. But that's how you, to me, that's how you start to think about this. But that's still going to impact Bahamians, Brave Davis, if you were to do that. That's still going to impact Bahamians who are middle, upper middle class, right? So people are still going to be impacted. You're still going to be hurting some Bahamians. You'll be impacting yourself, all right? And everyone possibly at your law firm. You understand what I'm saying? So he's not connecting this fully for me. But he's right that it should be considered. The other issue with the IMF is, and I want to discuss Huberman's comments about it, but I first want to get through this. The other issue about the IMF is, that's not a far-fetched idea. Joining an IMF restructuring program, and we've heard horror stories, but there's also been success stories. It depends mainly on the country. Joining an IMF restructuring program may not be a terrible idea. It's going to come with some attrition and some pain, yes. And I'd love to hear more about this from economists as well. But from my look at it, sometimes you have to force yourself into a position that is uncomfortable in order to ultimately grow out of it. Right? So if you're forced to make these tough decisions about BPL, about water and sewage, about Bahamas Air, about Z&S, about the size of the public service, right? About whether you have to implement certain taxes, et cetera, like that. If you're forced in that position, the hope is that at least you come out of that with a better plan. And you can bypass the political considerations and go, this is what we have to do. And you have those conversations with the union, you have those conversations with all the country, and you go, this is what we've signed on, and I don't believe anyone should campaign without being pellucidly clear if that's on the table. And you go, this is what we signed on for as a nation. Not just me. I told you if the situation looked like this, we would have to do this. This is what we've signed on for, and this is where we have to go. And oh, and we're going to, I promise you, we're going to merge better for it. And that's how you sell that. We'll take some calls. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Ron, what's going on?
I'm good. How's it going?
Yeah, everything cool. I guess go on Randall Jones' show, but the CM's thing. I'd like you explain it, break it down, Jessica, how you break it down, no. Because we don't been to this. This is like a scotch record or a movie. All you can see is happiness. When they do win, oh, we didn't know the F&M spend that type of money. We didn't know it was that bad. So we have the, low end of what we got to raise it to $20. And just, like I tell you yesterday, all this is syrup talk. Don't mind Davis, them talking foolishness. They only bring that up now because it's politically correct to bring it up around this type of time. Election coming up. That's the only reason why, like you say, in 2015, why am I Perry Christie them? Ain't care to the board and make it the best, the easiest for Bahamian people. And why now?
Right. And that is a question that's going to be asked. You're right.
Why now? That's only syrup talk. Don't mind. If the Bahamian people don't get swing from that again, that's their business.
No, okay. I understand you. Thank you, my brother. But I'll say that, though. I'll say this. Davis understands enough, it appears, to understand that if you lower that, you will decrease inflation, or slow the rate of inflation anyway, and you will also probably spur more economic growth. So it's an interesting conversation to have. And yes, we could just say Davis just flapping his gums and all this XYZ, but I'm telling you, whoever wins the next election is going to have to make some very serious choices. And it's best we start talking about it now, then go, well, no one said that to me, right? And have these conversations now and inform us about them right now. All right? Let's go to a break and we'll be right back.
Now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything?
Guns?
Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Junior combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken junior sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose between a chicken BLT or flame-grilled beef in two great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including VAT. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Are you ready to break up with your car? Easy Car Sales invites you to fall in love with an electric vehicle. Ditch the gas pump, the expensive mechanics, feel the freedom, the power. Visit easy242.com and make a date to test drive an electric vehicle today. Get into a better relationship. Find your perfect match at Easy Car Sales and drive electric happily ever after.
Looking for plenty food and you're on a budget?
Well, I'm break.
Stop into Wendy's and grab our latest bundle. Introducing the Biggie Bag. With the new Biggie Bag, you get a Dave's Singles, Junior Fries, regular drink, and four-piece nuggets for only $7.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more. Now that's a deal.
Motor, also hook up, eh?
It's the best on these streets. Available at all locations. Restrictions apply. Wendy's, different inside and out.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit islbahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, 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 swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. I see you guys are sending me messages about taxation. Very good, very good. We got a phone call. Let's do that real quick. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, brother. How's it going?
I'm good, you know. I was listening to your conversation from yesterday, hoping that you would continue it today. So I'm very happy to see you've continued it today. Want to make about three interjections
in okay.
the discussion.
Go ahead, but don't keep it tight as always.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I will. And thank you for the opportunity. First and foremost, one, the government lost a lot of revenue when it determined this government canceled a lot of revenue through foolish, ill-advised policy decisions, right, over the last 4 years. We had the Revenue Enhancement Unit, right, which you are fully aware of. We've discussed this on your show as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was bringing in tens of millions of dollars every month. Around $300 to $400 million they would have realized after a full year. The government could have used that revenue. The government has yet to replace that Revenue Enhancement Unit with anything that's on the level to bring in that lost revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
After making a foolish decision to cancel it through that stop review and cancel policy. Also, there was the real property tax rebate program, right, which mm-hmm. Michael Akitas was also overseeing and managing, which at the point of the election had reduced that volume of taxes owed to government, I think by about 30 to 40%, right? Or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that program was also bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars in government taxes that were owed on the books by encouraging persons to become up to date with their payment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government has yet to put in any program in place that can replace that loss of revenue that they've canceled with their stop review and cancel policy. Let me look at what the leader of the opposition is saying, right? First thing we need to acknowledge, one, is this. As it relates to VAT, the biggest tax collector for the government today, there was no study done on the increase from 7.5% to 12%. In fact, that 60% increase,
yeah.
There was no white paper produced. There was no economic study done on the economy to determine what the impact of that increase on the economy would do. If the impact would be positive or negative. And so you are unable, or I am unable, or any economist is unable to say factually if the government had left the tax structure at 7.5%, if the economy would have fared better, if it would have spurred and encouraged more spending, or if the economy would have performed less, and it would have contracted as a result, right? But we've seen, though, as a result of the increase that spending has contracted in the economy, we have also seen, one, as a result of the VAT increase, the government still has yet to reach their projected financial revenue and intake, even with the increase in VAT of 60%, okay?
Yeah,
I'm getting down to the last 2 points, and I'm trying to go quick so that I can keep it tight. There's the option for the Prime Minister, as the leader of the opposition continues to say. He could have met with, even during this pandemic, he could have met with Club Med. He could have met with Breezes. He could have met with The Point. He could have met with the Hilton, Bahama, and Atlantis, the major hotels in this country, to isolate and determine, to find out what is it, what level of support, what policy decisions, what legislation they require in order for them to continue operating their businesses, even in this most difficult time, so that behemoths would not have lost tens of thousands of jobs, which have our jobless
people
in the country.
I got to get to other people, Anton. We only got five.
I'm ending right now, one, right? When you look at the last point that I'm going to make as it relates to restructuring, similar to the conversation with the minister, Shadow Minister of Finance, Chester Cooper, and the leader of the opposition, Philip Davis, is stating, if you restructure the debt one, two things can happen. You can, if you have the right people in place who is trusted by the international financing community, who they believe when they say something, you can have a reduction in interest rate payment, right? Which would save the government hundreds of millions of dollars over the period of time. You can also have a restructuring in terms of the term limit for the government debt, which means the government may have a longer period to pay off the debt, which would also free up hundreds of millions of dollars for the government to be able to have access to pump back into the economy, to get the economy kickstart and going in whatever direction it so desires that is best available.
Okay, I got to go, Anton. I gave you ample time. My suggestion would be to cut the prologue and just get to the meat of the matter. I can't do any more phone calls. You can thank Anton for that. I got to do my text messages because I did ask you to text me. It says, income tax and devaluation is on the way, particularly, but not especially, if the IMF steps in. Whichever party wins, they'll have to make tough decisions. The FNM is least able to deal with the economy and people. I wouldn't like to see devaluation just as a matter of a convenience issue and maybe a little bit of sprinkling of pride there. Why are we having the discussion about lowering that? The PLP never said they would. To get a full scope as to where the country is, any government would need to look at everything to do with finance. He might look at it and decide he can't touch that. Absolutely right. And the elephant in the room, whoever wins the election may have to downsize the civil service for the government to qualify for future loans. Who's going to be, quote, brave enough to bring this up? That's right. That's why I keep telling you. I keep saying that. That's a real concern. And, you know, the PLP's smart. They won't go around saying, hey, no one's going, the civil service ain't going to happen, nothing's going to happen, and taxes ain't going to go nowhere. Now, your policy position as Prime Minister, Davis, I guess, could be, all right, let's look at every avenue before we raise taxes. We're going to have to look at decreasing them. This says, Mr. Davis is only saying what he knows the so-called poor wish to hear. He'll never do it. It's get me in government talk, political talk. Davis don't have to think it over because he's not going to do it. So with the greatest respect, stop giving him ideas where he can affect tax change. They need the money for their cronies and special interest, both parties. At least you were respectful about it. It says, hi, Juan. Reducing the VAT percentage doesn't mean a 50% reduction in VAT revenue. It's not as linear as it is difficult to predict the psychological impact it will have on spending. True. You're right. It's not so linear. But if we're just doing hard calculations, I don't know what'll happen, but let's say everything continues the same, I can make that estimation, I think. All right? But you're right. You may lower VAT and people spend more and then you collect more of that. You never know. This says, good day, Juan. That bit of information that you read by Mr. Davis. I can't take any calls, Kermie or Arlie. That bit of information you read by Mr. Davis about tax is a whole lot of rumbling. His message was very well worded. Therefore, you can't hold him to nothing because he ain't promising nothing. I'll never forget what Doc Minnis said about VAT while in opposition. I'll never forget what Carl Bethel said about words spoken while campaigning. Yep. This is great show and great analysis on the tax issue, Juan. The VAT reduction could work, but as you say, we'll need a supplement elsewhere. I believe that a flat custom rate would be good, me too, as it would spur volume in imports and help drop prices locally, which should overall drive the economy, but a text isn't enough to air that out. P.S. I think Fred Mitchell was more truthful on that petty vibe, though. Agreed. And that's a good idea. You guys are thinking out there. It's really good. If you have a flat customs rate and you drop customs, right, we could be looking at spurring more, dropping the cost of goods in the country, therefore dropping and increasing the ease of doing business, creating more volume. There's less going abroad to do your stuff, to buy products, because you can compete properly here. Say, hey, Juan, you is my boy, so I'm going to be honest. We don't care about the FNM or the PLP. Stop wasting your breath and time that you will never get back talking about them. It's more than unbelievable that the Bahamian public would ever consider giving Menace a second chance. We need a change, and I hope we can focus on what that change would be and look like rather than wasting time on the PLP and FNM. Fair enough. At least you said it as my boy. One, the government can do an income tax and corporate tax if they A, alter the business license tax to net income, not turnover. This would be more fair. I think that's a great idea. B, create a totalization agreement with the USA so that expats and US companies can wash Bahamian tax against US taxes they would owe. Huh. That's an interesting idea. So otherwise, you lose a lot of people to double taxation. I'll send Minutes my consultation fee for this text. LOL. No, you should. That's a good idea. Let me say this. That's a very interesting idea. I'd have to do more study on it, but that's an interesting idea. All right. Okay. Says Juan, the guy said, why now the PLP is talking about taxes? It has to be done. It seems like everything to stay the way it is with the FNM. That's stupid. It says, hey, Juan, the debt is extensive, and the sad part is it's being compounded every year. The tax reform recommendation from me as a young entrepreneur would be to reform customs duties and VAT on customs. The double and triple taxation is unfair. Yeah, this is a good idea. If duty is greatly reduced, businesses can reduce overall costs. I hate the 12% VAT as much as the next person, but as you said, 800 million plus, we can need that little ting. But VAT-free should include school fees, healthcare, medicines for sure. Yes, and medical services as well. Oh, they want me to read the guy's idea again. It says his idea was to create a totalization agreement with the USA so that expats and US companies can wash Bahamian tax against US tax they would owe. Otherwise, you lose a lot of people to double taxation. Right. So he's saying that the expats still have to go pay the taxes in the United States, but if you create an agreement with the US where, hey, man, I already paid taxes over here in the Bahamas where I'm spending the majority of my time, so I don't owe you this tax that you're saying I owe, according to the agreement you guys have, the expats would be inclined to stay in the Bahamas. If not, and they're like, well, I ain't getting hit with income tax here and there. Why come here? You know, and he makes a point. All right. These are great. These are some great points you guys are making. I'm fresh out of time. Let me read this. Let me borrow a minute from Brother Lang here. I'm going to read this one last text, and I got several. I'm glad you guys picked up on this. We're going to get deeper into this next week, I believe. VAT can never go down again in the history of the Bahamas unless we go dig in the caves out by Orange Hill and find every cent of Blackbeard's gold. Countries are expensive to run, and almost every government in the history of man has had problems with fiscal responsibility. You have donors, generals, and voters to please. Governments are very inefficient in everything they touch. On taxing, we need to tax boating companies out of the USA, VAT, for every excursion that they undertake in the Bahamas. We need to raise the ceiling of real property tax to $100,000 and anyone who owns an island, $500,000. And the family, I understand, okay. Implement a corporate tax of 25%. Modernize the police ticketing system. When you get a ticket, you can pay online. Decrease water costs. Allow all solar energy components and duty to be duty and VAT free. Put VAT up to 15%. Put customs duties on every product entering the Bahamas minus solar at 10%. Charge a 15% tax for all foreigners that own homes and condos and rent them out. Just a few items off the top of my head. I love where you guys' heads are at. It's great stuff. All right. I already stole some of Lang's time. That's going to do it for today. We're going to do it all over again next week. All right. So you guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Commonwealth Bank, El Monkey Foot Grill, Fidelity Bank, Hershey's Chocolates, Wendy's, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Burger King, Baja.